One day, even the meekest and the quietest amongst us aren't going to be able to contain themselves. Amen. When we stand before the Savior and worship Him, it's not going to be one of these quiet services that a lot of people. I was told one time that I don't need to preach so loud and I don't need to get so loud. But I tell you what, if you can't stand loud down here, you're in trouble because it's going to get real loud up there. Amen. Because all you're going to hear is the praising and shouting and worshiping God through all the ages. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to worshiping Him. Got a card here tonight from Brother John and Sister Liz. It says, Pastor Gilbert in church, I would like to take a moment and say thanks for the visits, cards, and gifts. This church family means more to Liz and I than words or actions can say. But thanks for all the prayers and thoughts. God heard each one, and I felt the blessings. Please keep me in your prayers. I still have a rough road ahead of me with another surgery probably around mid-September. So I ask this church to keep Liz and I in your prayers. Thanks. May God bless each and each of you. Love in Christ, John and Liz Ballou. And John and Liz are as much a part of our church family as everybody else. Amen. And we love them, and we care deeply for them. And John knows, maybe I'm not one to call people every day and stuff. Some people every day, they got their list they call. I don't even call my own kids every day. I don't call my own family. But, you know, that's not what matters. Just knowing that you're in someone's heart and that they're praying for you, that they're caring for you. It means the world, and John and Liz are that way in our heart and our life, and I know they're that way to this church. We love and care for them. Turn in your Bibles tonight into Psalm 133. Psalm 133. I promised you tonight we'd try to be short, and I didn't say it would be short. I said I would try to be. Amen. But just a very short psalm that just come to my heart and my mind as I was thinking about all that God had done this week in Bible school and how He blessed. Amen. And you know, it's not because of any one person's efforts. No one person did it. No one person caused it. It was because a church come together. Amen. With one heart, a unified body come together. We was praying for a revival. We was preparing for for Bible school and praying and preparing for it and wanting God to do something in the midst of revival. And we've seen 9 professions of faith. We've seen a great offering gathered, almost $5,000, $4,750. We might as well just round it off to 5. What do you think, Brother Jim? It's a lot easier to say 5,000. Amen. And Brother Jim said if we keep Vacation Bible School going for another week or so, we'd be able to buy him a brand new truck. Amen. And it was just good to see God's people come together. And that's what Psalm 133 is about. It's about the unity of the body of believers. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace tonight? Amen. I want to ask you all tonight as a church family to unify. Pray. We've had some visitors, adult visitors, that have been with us the last few weeks, different ones that have come and they have raised their hand for salvation. Raised their hand knowing that they're not saved, but leaving without having the peace that knowing that can bring to their heart. I want you to pray for them. God knows their hearts. He knows where they are. He knows who they are. And He knows what's going on in their lives. Amen. Aren't you glad that God knows you? Amen. And He knows them, and He knows just exactly what it's going to take to bring them to that place of conviction. He was speaking to their hearts today, or they wouldn't have acknowledged it. And then we've had adults that are raising their hands, knowing that they're in a backslidden condition, things in their life. And yet they won't come to the altar. They won't come and let God make things right in their heart and in their life. And that just bothers me. I mean, you don't know what a burden that is just seeing people leave that way. But pray for them. Amen. And pray that God would bring his convicting power to the place in their life that it's so strong that they would just yield themselves and surrender their hearts and lives unto Jesus and get saved and surrender their hearts and lives unto God and get the things right that need to be right. Repent of those things that are causing you to backslide and get to the place where God can just really use you. Amen. I know he's wanting to do something and he will do something, but it just takes people being willing to let go and let God do it. And I know when the church binds together in prayer, when we covenant together in prayer about something, that it has a great more deal of power, I believe, than when we pray as individuals. You know, our prayers as individuals has great power. But when all these individuals are praying for the same thing, just think about how much more power is added to that one prayer, that one need that we're praying for. So pray for these needs. I don't want to see any slip out of here and just get the news maybe that they were in an accident or that they died and slipped out into eternity unprepared, knowing that they realized they had a need. Amen? That'd just be horrific. So pray for these that come. And God is sharing in his word right here how the blessings of unity in the church. And I think one of those blessings of unity comes in what we do and how we prepare and how we get ready for things. Just like Bible school, I believe we had great results in our Bible school because we faced it unified. Amen. We can run around and we can let little things get in the way. And this one can complain about that, and that one can complain about that. And, you know, you can go complaining and you can complain yourself right out of a blessing. Yes, amen. Amen. But praise God, we kept focused on what was the main thing, getting Bible school going and letting God just have his way. And he was able to. I think we just prayed for it and prepared for it. And I believe in unity, we've seen God do a great work and a great thing in our life. And in verse number 1, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." You know, unity is a great thing. And when you read the Bible, you read from Genesis to Revelations, you see that the Bible is a book of restoration. Amen? It's the story of God's plan and God's desire for restoration because he wants unity with his people. Amen? We're separated from God. Our sins separate us from God. He sent his son to pay the sin debt for us that we might be reunited. We might be restored to the place that we have fallen from as a race, as mankind, and that unity has been broken. But he says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We all dwell together in the same fact and in the same salvation and in the same hope. There's nothing different between us when it comes to what unifies us. What unifies us is God. What unifies us is Christ Jesus. Amen. We're not unified because we're Baptists. We're unified because of Jesus. Amen. We're not unified because we all live in a certain area. We all live in Cecil County or wherever. We're unified because of Jesus. And I'm thankful for that. He says, how good it is. It's not good just to us, but it's good in the eyes of God. Amen. It's good as God looks back from the very beginning. God's seen the need for unity. What's the first thing that God's seen in the Bible that he said wasn't good? That man was alone. Amen. They needed unity. Man needed somebody. Amen. And God created a woman. And when man and woman failed God, and when man and woman fell in the garden, God didn't just cast them away and eliminate mankind. He made a plan for restoration. He made a plan that unity between man and God could be restored. See, God knows how important unity is. He knows how much man needs that relationship, how much man needs that interaction. It's good in the eyes of God, but it's pleasant. It's an experience that, if you look up that word pleasant, you look up in Strong's, it brings up other definitions of delightful or sweet. It's an experience to be cherished. You know, our relationship as God's people, our relationship together in a local church, our relationship together as a church, should be one of the most cherished things in our lives. Amen? We should desire that unity. We should strive for it and do all that it takes to allow unity to exist in our midst. And we need to keep the little isms and schisms out. We need sometimes to keep our own personalities out. Amen? That we might have unity. I got news for you. As great as you think you are, and you might think you're all that in a bag of potato chips, amen, there's somebody somewhere that really don't care for you. Amen? There's a Christian somewhere that really don't care for you. Your personality strikes him wrong. Maybe your actions strike them wrong. Amen? But we need to love one another anyway. Because guess what? We've all got our problems. We've all got our issues. Amen? But we can all dwell together in unity when we make Christ the focus of our gathering, when we make Christ the focus of our purpose for worship, when we make Christ first and foremost. It's not about the other people. We come together in unity for what? To worship Christ, to uplift God, to glorify Him. It's not all about us. That's what I like Brother Brett Rochester. I like their ministry. It's all about him. Amen. Ministries. Amen? And that's what our whole life needs to be about. All about him. It's not all about me. It's not all about this church. It's not all about you or you or you or you. It's all about Jesus. But we come together as one body of believers to have all things in common because of him. That's what the early church found there in Acts chapter 2. It says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And they had all things in common. Everything that we have needs to center around what? Jesus Christ. Not this local assembly, not the church building, but around Jesus. Amen? And when we let everything center around him, we see him begin to do great things. We see him move in our midst. We see him bring peace where there would be strife in other organizations. People come to me with problems, and I always encourage them. You got a problem with somebody? Deal with it scripturally. Don't come tell me about it. You got a problem with somebody, the Bible says go talk to them about it. Amen? And so some people have come to me with problems, and they can tell you I'm telling you right. The first thing I'm going to do is pull out my list. I've got my whole list in the back already printed out because I need to use it every now and then, and I just give them the list. Here's what the Bible says that you need to do. Here's how the Bible says that you need to deal with it. Why? Because we want to maintain unity. Amen? We don't want to see any isms and schisms. When the devil can break the unity of a church and can break the unity of believers, amen, he's got a little crack that he can begin to work through. And trust me, that rascal will work through it. Amen? Over in Ecclesiastes, it says, if you break through the hedge, the serpent will bite. Amen? If we get outside of the unity of Christ, you know what a hedge does? It closes you in. Amen? When we break outside of that unifying power, that unifying hedge, we break outside of Christ and the way that Christ tells us to deal with problems. What happens? The devil bites. And when the devil bites, has grave circumstances. So we need to see the unity of the believer, the unity of the brethren, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Man, I want to be in one mind and one accord in everything that we do. We can have differences of opinion and still move forward. We don't have to agree about everything. Amen? But we can agree to disagree about things and go ahead and move on. not get all pooch-mouthed and mad and angry. And, well, they didn't do it my way, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that. And I know people that have done that, and I know churches that that they want to maintain control over their pastor, and you know, if he don't preach the way that they want to or what they like to, they withhold their offerings from him, and they try to punish him some way or another, and you know, that's just being petty. But Christ said, "Let us come together and have all things in common." The word says it's good and it's pleasant for unity. And sometimes I have to yield my desires for unity to abound. Amen. Sometimes you have to yield your desire for unity to abound. I didn't say yield on the principles of God's word. I said yield our desires. And churches have split over the color of carpet. Really? People got all upset and mad because one wanted one color carpet, one wanted another color carpet, and before you know it, the unity was broke over carpet. Something foolish. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let's strive. Let's strive to keep that pleasant atmosphere in our spiritual lives with one another. We don't have to want to hang out and be best buddies and everything else, but we can still have a unified desire. We can still wish the best for people and want the best for people and seek the best for people. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? It's good in the eyes of God. It's pleasant to those who get to participate in it. But look at what he says in verse 2. We see the picture of unity as being good in God's eyes, being pleasant to those who dwell in it. But we see the power, the source of that unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. In the Bible, when we read about oil, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit. When any sick among you come and let the elders of the church come and anoint them with oil, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. When God commanded the special ointment, the special oil to be prepared for the anointing of the high priest, the anointing of Aaron, as he was the first one anointed into that office, and it was a picture of the Holy Spirit of God that was descending upon the man of God. You know, the man of God, without the Spirit of God, he is no use to God. Amen. It takes the Spirit of God upon them to be used of God in the way that he wants to. And that's what the picture of that anointing oil of Aaron was. And you see that it was poured upon him, and it says it run down upon his beard and down upon his garments, even the skirts of his garment, all the way. We see that it started in the head, and the head was Jesus, who was the first one, the first man became the foundation of the church. It was Jesus. He said, upon this rock. He wasn't talking about Peter. He was talking about himself. Amen. Upon this rock I'll build my church. And where was he anointed? He was anointed when he was baptized and he came up out of the water. The Bible says, and the Spirit of God descended upon him. Amen. And from that time, the Spirit of God has descended upon his people, upon his church. It covered the whole, all the way from the head to the hem of the skirts of his garment. The church was bathed in the power and the Spirit of God. That special anointing that only can come from God. That special unction that only comes from on high. That special understanding. That special direction. That special discernment that he gives us. That special spiritual bond that we have with one another. Try the spirits whether to be a God. I tell you what, I've been around some people that the Spirit of God just flowed over from them and on to me. And I just wanted to get a little closer, amen. I've been around people so filled with the Spirit of God that I've got the goosebumps. As one of the Filipino missionaries said one time, I got chicken skin all over, amen. Just goosebumps popped all over me because they were just filled with the Spirit and it was just out oozing out all over them. I wanted to be near that. Amen. Amen. I want to get plugged into that. I want to get some of that because it was so good. That unity of the believer, that pleasantness of the unity of the church, of the brethren. The psalmist says it's just like that. It's just like when the Spirit is poured out on you. Man, I tell you what, I love it when the Spirit of God just shows up.
Amen.
And He just ministers and He just speaks. Man, He showed up this morning.
Amen.
Hey, man, I don't know if it done anything for you, but man, he just blessed my soul this morning. He shows up. And it's special. The unity of the believer is that special. That's what the psalmist is saying. The unity of the believer, the unity of you and I as a local assembly is just as precious in the sight of God as it is when His Spirit is poured upon us and we have that unity of the Spirit with God. That relationship between God and man that is made evident by the presence of His Spirit. Do you see that? It's like how good it is for, and how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the pressure. It's like when God pours His Spirit out upon us. Our relationship to one another as believers in Christ Jesus, as recipients of His great salvation, is just as precious as that. Did you know that's how God views our relationship? Do you know when you come and you talk to me and you badmouth to me about Brother Rick? They don't, but just, you know. It's like you badmouthing God. He said it's just like a precious ointment. When you come and you bad-mouth me about Sister Sherry, it's just like bad-mouthing the Lord. I'll tell her not to next time. I'll tell her stop. Amen. But do you realize that's how God views our relationship to one another? When you bad-mouth another church member, it's just like bad-mouthing your relationship with God. Bad-mouthing the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Jesus said the only sin that you can commit that will keep you out of heaven is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So when He likens our relationship, our unity together with one another, to our relationship with the Spirit of God being poured out upon us, don't you think you ought to think twice when somebody frustrates you, aggravates you, or does something to you, says something that just sets you off the wrong way, that you better check yourself? And I've come to find out a lot of times when people got problems with somebody, it's not the person that they have the problem with, it's the problem. It's the person that has the problem. 9 times out of 10. He said, it's just like that relationship. He said, it's like the dew of Hermon that descends upon the mountains of Zion. Mount Hermon is in the northern part of Israel. It's right on the border of Lebanon and Syria. It's 9,000 feet high. It's the tallest mountain in Israel. And snow can be seen at times on the top of Hermon. And as that cold air drifts down off of Mount Hermon and drops down into the desert and arid regions, the moisture that comes from that cold air as it descends and as it drops, it bathes the land in a moisture that allows the area around Mount Hermon to flourish like nowhere else in all of Israel. Naturally, it refreshes. It renews. When everything else is dry and parched that isn't artificially irrigated and watered, Hermon will be green and lush naturally because of the dew that falls, because of the rejuvenation that it gets as the cold air drops in the evening and lays its moisture upon Israel and upon the mounts. Think about Mount Zion at 2,400 feet. All we ever see of it is a dry and a parched place. You know, in our churches and in our worship, in our relationships with one another, we can get dry and we can get parched. But man, if we strive to maintain the unity of the body, the unity of the believers, the unity of the church, it's just like when Hermon pours its blessing of moisture out upon the ground. God can pour his blessing out upon his church. He can pour his water, his rain. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, whosoever will come and drink from the water, I will pour out my spirit on my sons and my daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky. It's beginning to rain. And I'm not going to try to do the high part because my voice is shot. Amen. But God pours his spirit out upon us. He pours his abundance of rain out upon us that we might be blessed, that we might flourish, and that we might grow. And the only way that he does that is if we can worship in the unity of the Spirit. If we can put away our personal selves. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, look at what the Apostle Paul writes to them in verses 1 to 7. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You see, there's only one. Amen? Amen. There's only one that's important. There's only one that needs to be lifted up. There's only one that needs to be exalted above everything and everybody else. His name is Jesus. It's not Dennis. It's not Rick. And it's not Sherry or anybody else. It's Jesus. And when we strive to uplift Jesus, we can all agree on that. Man, we don't all agree on how we should dress. We don't all agree on how we should... Man, there's churches that say, man, a preacher can't preach in their pulpit that has facial hair. I don't know where they ever come up with that nonsense. Amen. But if you got facial hair, you can't preach in their pulpit. I'm growing me a great old big stash. Yeah, give me a great old big one. Maybe get one big old handlebar one so out there be like Chris. Amen. I don't know. You know, but people come up with some foolish stuff. Man, some churches, if you don't have a tie and a suit and you don't look just so, they don't want you to preach in their pulpit. They ain't nowhere in the Bible. It says, Billy Sampson. I'm trying to think of his name. As a matter of fact, Billy Sampson come up with a scripture here a couple days ago. I read it, and something about the man of God should be unbound around the neck. And he said, I think I done found a scripture that a certified is not wearing a necktie. And I'm saying, hallelujah, bring it on. Let's preach it, brother. Amen. Let's hear some more about that. Amen. But some folks, if you don't have a tie on, you can't preach. If you don't do this and you don't do that, you can't preach. We're getting too focused on the wrong things. Let's get focused on the right thing. And the right thing is Jesus. That's what keeps us in the unity of the Spirit. That's what keeps us in the unity of the body. That's what brings us together. That's what Paul said, that we keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Because there's only one body. There's only one Spirit. There's only one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father. It's not about all of us. It's all about Jesus. And let's keep our focus on Him so that He can pour that dew from heaven. He can feed us with that manna from heaven. He can give us that water that never runs dry, that living water that flows within our souls. That will sustain us and keep us and help us to flourish and grow when everything else is drying up and fading away. So we see the picture of unity. We see the power, the source of that unity in the Spirit. But then we see the promise of the unity in the last part of verse 3. For there, where the people were being blessed from the dew that fell upon them, in that parched country, when that dew of Hermon fell upon them, when that dew from heaven touched their souls. For there, where? When God's people were witness to the man that had been anointed to become their high priest, and he was a picture of what was to come of Jesus that would stand before God and would be the intercessor between God and man. And there, when it wasn't about the individual, but it was about the one that was pouring the blessing out. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Galatians 3:26-28 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. When you talk about me, you're talking about one of Christ. When you talk about somebody else in your church, you're talking about one of the Lord's. Amen. But what makes us unique in what we are is we all belong to Him. And where two or three are gathered together in His name, He said He would be in the midst there also. Amen. When two or three want to worship God, when two or three want to call on His name, when two or three are willing to subjugate themselves and crucify themselves and allow Christ to be first and foremost, He shows up and pours out a blessing. He poured out a blessing this morning with an altar full. I mean, while heads were bowed and eyes were closed, our altar was full. He poured out a blessing this morning as he brought conviction on hearts and lives, and hands were going up all over the church. He brought a blessing this past week when we come together and as a unified body, how we presented a Bible school program that taught emphasized salvation and the need for salvation. And we've seen young hearts make that profession of faith unto Christ, 9 young souls.
Amen.
And you know, it was a blessing this morning. We've seen a lot of them Bible school kids.
Amen.
The first time in a long time we've seen those Bible school kids come back to church. And I'm encouraging our teachers to contact those kids that were in your Bible school and find out where they live and let Rick and Joanne and Adam and Pam know so that we can get the vans there to pick them up to get them to church. Man, I hope we get so many of them coming we have to buy another van.
Amen.
I hope we get to see God because we're willing to unify our hearts and our lives. We're willing to unify our purposes that God might be glorified. And the more that he's glorified, the more that he pours his blessing out upon his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. Read Psalm 22. See, when we come together in one mind and one spirit and one thought and one desire, and we're willing to dwell together in unity, it's good and it's pleasant. By the way, the Bible says in John, 1 John chapter 3 and chapter 4, that if you don't love your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you've not seen? If you don't love your brother, then you don't love God. And the Bible's plain, if you got aught against any brother or sister, you need to go deal with it. You need to take care of it. It's no one else's responsibility but you to deal with it. Amen? And you need to deal with it so that God can have his way. The blessing, even life forevermore. Man, I want to see more souls saved so that they can be partakers of the blessing. I'm thankful that somebody prayed for me. I'm thankful when I was a kid, I went to Bible schools and I learned about Jesus and seeds were planted and seeds were watered and seeds were attended to and seeds were cultivated and one day a seed sprung up and it was God that got the increase. And I want to see that happen in our church. But the only way that can happen is we're going to dwell together in unity. We're going to be one body of believers for one cause, and that's the cause of Christ. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Who is it that bestows the blessing? It's God. Through his Son, to his people, his sheep, that we might be partakers of the unity that was broken by sin in the garden, but was made available by the cross on which Jesus died and shed his precious blood. Through him, because of him, one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, is above all, through all, and in you all. It's all about Jesus, folks. It's all about Jesus. I thank God for unity and for what it produces. And I pray that our church will keep that spirit of unity
And we continue to see God do things like he's done this last week. If he can do it in the hearts of these young ones, he can do it in the lives of some of these adults that have been coming. I'm telling you, for about the last month or so, we've had several young adults in our church that have been convicted and have raised their hand. But I'm not the Holy Spirit, and I can't drag them and make them do it. They need to surrender. And the devil would like nothing more than to interrupt God's program and interrupt God's plan. Don't let him do it. Purpose in your heart and in your life that you're going to strive to maintain the unity of this local church, the unity of our fellowship together. Our altar is open. If there's anything that you need to deal with it. If there's any reason you need to come and pray, come and pray. The greatest unity that you need to ensure is the fellowship between you and your Savior. And then next, you need to ensure the unity between you and your fellow believers. Altar's open. As we stand, our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. The altar's open.